Quick question.
Oh, this is going to be good.
What's the difference between a required 5 second an ad advertisement, and an ad that says you can skip in 5 seconds? Why is it the required 5 second ad? I'm like, fuck!
Why, you're a little bit more upset about the fact that you're sucked into it?
Yeah, I'm stuck on this 5 second ad.
But if it's a skip in 5 seconds, you're like, oh, I'll just count down the 5 seconds, whatever.
I got patience for that. I got time for that.
It's funny, man. I wish like all ads at the 50% point, you can just skip all of them. So if you, they get shorter and shorter. It's like, buy time.
And, dude, and it's like, I'm the least suicidal I've ever been. But when I see that 15-second required ad, I just start thinking about putting my head in a fan or, you know, like putting my finger in an outlet. Or actually, if I'm at the shop and I got like a blade in my hand, I'm like, oh, let's just – it's vertical, not horizontal, right? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just because that 15 – that fucking 15-second moment, I swear to God, son of a
– The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be my –
podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who has, or actually, not who has, but who was, a man who was the inspiration for Shia LaBeouf's Tax Collector.
Oh, Motion. My goodness, dude. It was so funny that you said that last week. You're like, no, well, he made a movie about you. Kinda.
I haven't seen it yet. You saw the movie, though.
Yeah, so the movie as a whole was good. You know what? We found out we got bamboozled into the movie. Without giving any spoilers, I think the way that a lot of people heard about this movie was there was a post going on about his chest tattoo that he got like tatted up for the role, right?
Right.
Did you see that ad? That. Well, if that's what you're watching the movie for, you might want to skip the movie. It's not integral to the story, but they never show him without a shirt, so.
Oh.
We were bad because we were all like, okay, everybody said the tattoos are real. Are they real? Are they fake? Are they fake? Are they real? All right. Yeah. Here's my problem with his character. He played exactly as you described. He doesn't play a Hispanic. His race is never mentioned or ethnicity, but right. I don't know, man. If it was a different accent, like if it was an English accent, people would be like, that's fucking terrible. It's like he only learned half the words. Because he'll be saying something in like a thick essay accent.
Yeah.
And then be like, should we go this way or that way? Like, wait, what happened? He's like, oh, dog, essay, hey, chato, hey, wait, should we go this way or that way? All of a sudden, like, the fuck happened? You only learned some of the words?
And then, you can't turn it on and off.
This is my thing about acting. Like, acting is supposed to be in the state of mind of the character, right? Like, the character is how they carry themselves. And so he plays this, like, essay, like, hardcore killer dude, but he walks around in like a 6-piece suit. And it's just that if you were in the mind state of the guy you're pretending to be in the mind state of, he would never dress like that, especially being from where he was from. So
that's true. I mean, I can't speak to it because I haven't seen the movie, but I'll take your word for it.
You know what I mean? It's just like he's throughout the movie, he's trying to be East L.A. essay, but he's wearing a suit like a tax guy.
Right.
And that doesn't equate. So that there was
where'd you see that?
At the house. We streamed it.
I know, but on what platform?
First roll about Cody. Don't talk about Cody.
Got it. Okay.
Cool. Well, I just did it, so
I want to try and figure out where the hell I can watch it because I heard about it.
No, yeah, I think it's on Amazon. I'm pretty sure.
Got it. It's not going to cost me $30 like Mulan is it?
What do you mean $30 like Mulan?
Mulan, the live action Mulan for Disney is going to be on Disney Plus, but you got to pay $30 if you want to watch it.
Oh, but then do you have it? Is it like download?
You do like own it. Oh, good point. I have no idea. I think it's like $30 like going to the cinema.
Because I remember when like I loved DVDs. Well, I love storytelling. So like that whole generation of 2000 to 2010, I went every Thursday to buy the new DVD out. And the Disney DVDs would only come out once every like 5 years, but they were like $30. But then you got like a foil case, you know, and two discs. So I guess if you're buying it for $30, that's not bad, right? Because then you have it forever. I think they're trying to offset the fact that you're going to fill your living room. Well, not now, it's COVID, but you would fill your living room with people and watch it, you know, and they're not going to get ticket sales per person.
I know, but I'm going to get ticket sales per person. I'm going to put that shit on the big screen in my front yard and everyone's going to line up.
Don't say it out loud. Remember, they sued the elementary school.
They'll be all right.
They'll take you down in a heartbeat. I have a feeling you're still on their fucking watch it list from that shit you pulled a couple years back at the theme park, bro.
You're probably right. but yeah, man's going to be back. And what are we celebrating? Are you celebrating anything?
No, I don't have anything particular to celebrate. Here, let's celebrate the show. Oh, I know what we got to celebrate.
What?
Did we make like a whopping $14 last week or some shit?
Yeah, we did, which is going to lead me to what I want to celebrate as well. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to start a new segment.
All right.
And the segment is called Short Sponsorships.
All right.
So the homie Short, he's one of our dedicated listeners, avid listeners, and one of the dudes who always regularly contributes to the Venmo. So shout out Short for always contributing to the Venmo and helps support what it is that we do. And it goes back into the show. So it doesn't line our pockets, you know, the $15 that we get. It doesn't line our pockets. It goes back into like advertising and, you know, Squadcast and for us being able to do the show. So we appreciate it. But Short has been the dude that's been most dedicated to supporting our endeavor financially thus far. And that is why I want to dedicate this whole segment. So whenever we have a sponsorship or any type of ad, it's going to be deemed under Short Sponsorships.
Fuck yeah, Short. You hear that, dude? And your mom said you'd never be anything, bro. Here you are, dude.
So for those out there listening, this is the cool thing about the Short Sponsorship. So if you want a Short Sponsorship, all you got to do is go to the Venmo, donate a dollar or more. And when you donate on the Venmo, you get to leave us like a note or something. And in doing so, we'll shout out whatever it is you want us to shout out. So it could be your Instagram handle, your website, your business site, or if you're like Stephanie, who dropped some money in the Venmo, she wanted us to let all your girls know, whoop, whoop, I'm bringing that $5 fire Saturday nights. Join my list to shop at Steph's Glitz and Glam.
Woo!
Yeah, dude. So
she made me a woo girl just with that hype, with that message. I'm all wooed out. I'm ready to woo, 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 woo.
Yeah, we're super wooing. So just like
you're
that.
Super wooing.
Super wooing. All you got to do, you know, just drop a little sum. And when you do, we'll shout you out. So again, that's Steph, S-T-E-P-H-S, Glitz and Glam on Facebook.
There you go, Steph.
Yeah, shout out. So that's how Short Sponsorships are going to work from now on. And again, it's just a dollar. If you want more followers, use Social Nuisance as your vehicle to make it happen.
Let's do this. The quality of the read will go by what you've donated. It starts at a dollar. It starts at a dollar. And as you can tell by Steph's read, she did a pretty good sized donation.
Yeah, she did.
And
yeah,
you can tell by the segment being named after Short, he's been doing some pretty good sized donations.
That's true.
So your read could go like this. Like if your Instagram handle is like at upyourbutt.com. Next, that's a dollar donation.
That was a dollar. But you put into us, we'll put into you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know what it is. You know what it is. Yeah.
That's the header of my next Craigslist ad.
So that's what we're celebrating. The debut of our new segment, Short Sponsorships, brought to you by Shorts. Shout out Short, man. He's such a cool guy, man.
He's the illest. And, is he still single? We should just talk about him for a little bit.
Oh, you know what? I don't understand how this man is still single.
I know how. You ever smell his fingers? Different broad every time.
Every time.
Every time.
He's the homie Short. He lives out in Riverside, Southern California. If you are interested in a good man who is very zen, who has dreadlocks that would make any lion jealous,
yeah,
let us know, man. He owns his own house.
Huh? Yeah.
How many
millennials? I didn't even know that.
Cross that off the fucking list. That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, edit this out. I'm gonna head over there and just give him a hand job.
Yeah.
Speaking of hand jobs,
short as a dude.
Would you rather get a bad hand job or a good hand job from your grandma?
I'm gonna say a bad one, so that way I have reason to never want it again. Because if you got a good one, then you're like thinking about like, I might do it again.
That's true, dude. That is true. Absolutely. And then you kind of get an idea of why your grandpa's either always in a good mood or always in a bad mood.
That's very true.
All right, let's get the show on the road, dude, before it falls off the tracks.
Too late. So just recently, and I wanted to just touch upon this. No, let's talk about the hot news. It just happened today. It was
just off the press.
Just hot off the press. I'm heavy into politics, so I got to touch upon it a little bit. Kamala Harris has been announced as the vice presidential candidate to Joe Biden, presidential candidate. For the Democratic team. And that's pretty fucking cool, man.
I hope she's got really strong legs and a tough core, dude, because she's going to have to carry that team through this election.
Yeah, when Biden got the nomination, or he beat out Sanders, immediately I was like, oh, man, Harris, I'm calling it.
Kamala Harris is
going to be vice president. So I feel pretty vindicated, validated, actually. And the first thing I thought of today when the announcement was made was, oh, man, Mike Pence is going to get his ass fucked up in that debate.
You think so? I don't. Is Mike Pence an idiot? I don't know enough about. He's been so in the. We're used to, like, in our lifetime, we've had some, like, loud, out there, obnoxious VPs, right? This is, like, the quietest one in my life.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying it. I'm not talking about, you know, policy or stances on particular subjects. I'm just saying the fact, personality-wise.
Bringing it to the stage.
She's a fucking pit bull, man, and she's going to rip his ass up. And I'm personally going to be enjoying that. But besides that point, it's really cool just to be celebrating the fact that she is the first African-American woman to be on the presidential ticket. And that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. And I think that – I mean, it's politics, right? That's why they call it politics.
What's up? And highest accomplished Asian-American. Got to throw that out there as well. Because her mother is Indian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's like...
She's half black and half Indian.
That means she's fine and horny. If black-Asian mix? Uh-oh. Nope. So my only thing was the two of them are so... They have a history of being tough on crime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that Biden was playing politics, and he had already decided he was going to pick a woman before he really considered anybody at all, right? Wasn't that part of the comment that he made in the past?
Yeah, that was back in February. Yeah, yeah.
So, before shit hit the fan.
Yeah, true that.
Man, February was such a lifetime ago, wasn't it, bro?
It really was, man.
We were hanging out once a week, giving each other hugs. Man. Anyways,
good times.
But yeah, that is rad, dude, that to see the progress this country has made. And you know, these are our candidates. That's cool, dude. I think that it's going to shake the minority vote a little bit harder than they expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because of her history of being tough on crime here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, especially so. They definitely have records to defend when the questions start coming. So that should be interesting to see how it goes. And we'll get into the politics. You know, we just wanted to take note to acknowledge it and celebrate it. But we're looking forward to getting into the nitty-gritty with Trump, Pence, Biden, and Harris.
We should break down the four characters involved in this cartoon.
And a cartoon it is, for sure.
Right?
Fucking A. But on to the current events.
Our election's an episode of Family Guy, dude.
Accurate. So accurate it hurts. Just recently in your home state of Arkansas, at a casino, there was a gentleman who was denied entry into a casino because he was told that men do not wear purses. So he is a homosexual man, and he has what he deemed a purse, not a bag, and he was denied entry into the casino based upon his perspective. He was told men don't wear purses, and that is the reason why he could not enter the casino.
Let's be real. They didn't let him in because he was gay.
I mean, potentially.
But I mean, before I say that, I would need. So one, that's not my home state, motherfucker. I just lived there for a couple years. But I would want to know the circumstance. Oh, that sounded terrible as I said it. Like as it came out of my mouth, was he causing problems or something? Or
see, and that's what I wanted to touch upon as well. Is that it doesn't really divulge the full picture.
Yeah.
The article that I read, it felt very clickbaity.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm curious as to whether or not they're going to paint a very biased picture in the fact that a homosexual man could not get into the casino because men don't wear purses, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Or are they going to provide full context of the situation? Was he unruly? Was there a situation that was ongoing?
Was he not wearing a mask and there was mask required? And you know, sometimes a bigot or a manager could just say something on the way out. And then that's what people are going to lead with, you know?
Right. So I read through the article and it seemed that ultimately it seemed again that his bag was not going to be checked by security. So he didn't want to give it up for checking, okay. Or that's kind of what I was getting from the article. And again, I think I'm more curious about why the article would paint a picture with such clear bias and not really give us the full context of the story. And I thought it was valid to kind of identify the fact that articles can do that.
The other thing about the casinos out there, they're similar to the casinos around here, is that they're on an Indian property, most of them.
Right.
So we would need to find out, you know, was that a Indian property thing, or was that an Arkansas, you know, a casino employee on a plate? I don't know. Cause they have the racetracks. Yeah. The racetracks there have casinos, and those would be considered, you know, regular employees as opposed to somebody on a tribe.
Right. So I was also kind of curious as to get the perspective about double standards. So he was saying that a number of women were going by and their purses were just as large as his and they were going in fine. So I was just kind of like, well, I mean, again, that could be a thing, but at the same time, without the context, we can't really determine what the situation is. So the reason why I wanted to bring this article up was, A, to get your perspective on men wearing purses, and then also always ask questions. You know, you read articles, and just because it's an online article or it's an article from a reliable source, you can still ask questions. You can still find the fact that this seems a little bit fishy, a little bit off, and I don't think they painted the full picture of it.
So on me wearing purses, I mean, not me wearing purses, on men wearing purses. Yeah. No, dude, like, look, I rock a fanny pack when I can, when my wife lets me. Doesn't often happen. Most of the time, she rips it out for me. But you know what? When you're rocking 501s all day and everybody's asking you to hold their shit, they start to slip. And then everybody's like, pull your pants up. So you just rock that fanny pack, fill it full of all the family's goods, and just have it right there around your dode region. You know what I mean?
It's absolutely true.
So I don't care what people were like. It wouldn't fucking matter to me. The thing is, too, what often takes place is, how do you call? What is it when you look at someone and they seem fishy, so you fuck with them?
Suspect.
Yeah, I guess kind of like security doesn't have to check everybody's purse if that's not the policy. But if you're being fishy as fuck, or it looks like you're mollied out or something, and you're a guy walking with a big ass bag, they might go, "Hey, this one's a little bit different. Can we see your bag, please?"
Yeah.
And then you're like, "Well, you didn't check everybody else's bag." I'm like, "Well, sorry, the 85-year-old Filipino lady that wants to play the slots, I know her. She comes every week. There's nothing in her fucking bag."
Fair assessment, I suppose.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Speaking of double standards, have you heard the WAP song?
I haven't heard it, dude, but I'm already excited about it.
So for those who are living under a rock with this current generation, WAP is the latest single from Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. I think her fucking name is. I don't know.
Quick question about that. A stallion is a horse that's a male that they use to stud.
Yeah, I'm still confused as to why she would name herself that. But hey, that's cool.
Okay, I thought maybe were there rumors when she first came out that she had a dode?
I think that's just egged on by the stallion name.
Oh, cool. Cool on her.
Yeah, good for her. So anyways, WAP is WAP, and it's an acronym for Wet Ass Pussy. And I finally had a chance to listen to the song, and it's very vulgar. It's very graphic. And a lot of spotlight has been shown towards the men who are not happy with this particular song because it's so graphic.
Okay.
And I just wanted to take an opportunity to tell those men, sit the fuck down and shut your mouth. Just because a woman is using graphic lyrics with her sexuality doesn't mean anything other than the fact that she is a woman speaking on her sexuality. That's it. Anything that you try to read in between the lines, it's just stupid. Just fucking take it for what it is. Appreciate it for what it is. You can call it artistry. You can call it trash. What you can't call it is a woman being out of line, because that's ridiculous and just total bullshit.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's a form of sex bigotry. The point, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, they're just not clever enough. Because I remember when I was a kid, every fucking white dad walking around going, skeet, 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 skeet. Turn the window! Turn the window! It's like, oh, you just don't know what skeet is, you know? Like,
yeah.
Clearly you don't know, you're yelling, come, 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 come. So right. The problem is they just weren't that clever enough. There are also a lot of women hating on them. And in this era of women support women, they do need to realize that in a music business, which is a predominantly male, you know, dominated industry, there are two people at the top right now. And they're women, both minority women, who happen to be on this track together, but independently, they're also at the top.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you don't have to agree with the message. You don't have to like it. And you don't have to play it for your fucking kids. And you can also monitor what your kids do and don't hear if you want to be a full-time parent. But as far as fucking hating on women who are doing the damn thing, you need to sit the fuck down with those loud-ass white guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, let's be real. It's white guys that are pissed off, right?
I would say mostly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody else knows. Did you see Ben Shapiro talking about his wife doesn't get wet, and if you do, it's probably that you have an STD? And it's like, no, sir, you've never aroused a woman in your fucking life, you dipshit.
Yeah, I saw that going around, and I thought that was just a clear example of just another person that just needs to shut the fuck up and sit down.
He's like, if you need a rag and a mop, you probably have an STD. No, she nutted, stupid. Like, what the fuck is... Are you that absent of life? Like, you've never... And the fact that, like, people are telling him, like, no, dude, like, you need to shut up on this, and he's really doubling down. I feel bad that now we know his wife is walking around extremely unsatisfied.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for him. I feel bad for his wife.
Yeah, and he's too stupid to like pick up on, oh, maybe I should shut the fuck up. Like, this is an insanely large amount of people telling me that this is something that happens. And, you know, he just keeps going. No, you guys are wrong. You guys are wrong. No, motherfucker, you're not doing the job.
Yeah, you're pretty much in the wrong at this point for sure. Another group of people who are in the wrong, I think, are some of the Portland protesters.
Nah, dude, they're fucking behind the front.
I knew this was coming for a lot of people. How dare Imagine be opposed to protesters? Well, there was a video that was recently surfaced, and what it showed is, it's on the Facebook page, so if you want to check out the video yourself, there is a woman who is wearing a swastika armband.
Okay.
And she is on her own doorstep, not yelling anything, not doing anything, at least not illustrating the video. She's just simply stating her opinion with the armband on her own doorstep. A group of protesters went up to her, started shouting and swearing at her because she was wearing the armband, and they told her to go inside or we're going to fuck you up.
And I saw that, yeah.
Here's where I'm standing with it. Number one, Nazis bad. Armband, swastika, all bad. Do not support it in any shape, way, or form. However, what I do support is this lady's First Amendment right to wear that armband on her own doorstep without being accosted.
Absolutely. Normally,
so I think a lot of the Antifa people, a lot of the Portland protesters in this particular instance, they don't understand the fact that you can have a differing opinion about how the world should work, even if it's a fucking horrible opinion, such as white supremacy in any shape, way, or form.
Well, that's what's ironic about the Antifa title, is they say they're anti-fascist, yet they target anybody who doesn't believe exactly what they believe, which is fascism. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fascist concept, that you have to agree with me or I'm going to attack you.
Yeah, and I think that's where I feel that I'm in the right here with my anti-fascism. Is like, yeah, I'm definitely opposed to all aspects of what this woman's armband represented and potentially what she represented by wearing it. But I think because we're in America, she has the platform to believe in it.
Publicly. And what's ridiculous is she had, well, as far as you and I know, because we don't participate in that movement, she had no platform. They fucking made her famous.
Yeah, they could have just ignored them and kept on moving in the same way that back it was in St. Louis, you had the suburban couple that came out of their mansions with the AR-15 and the handgun. Same thing. You had protesters that wanted to stop and engage them, and you had some smart leaders in that protest who were like, no, keep going. Just keep walking. Don't pay no mind to them. We're not here. That's not our audience. We're not here for that. And I think that leadership failed to be present in that particular situation in Portland where they accosted this woman. And I think it made them look bad in this situation.
It did, absolutely. I mean, well, the good thing about it is they could only look as bad as the person that they were, you know, like there wasn't much sympathy. And also the fact that it was a woman is something else too, because if that was a dude, like with a skinhead and he had it, we'd probably feel a lot less bad. But the fact that there was 20 people snatching and grabbing at this woman too, at some point they actually tried to rip the fucking thing off her arm and pulled her off her step, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That says something about it. But look, if you want to express dangerous thoughts, you know, you run a liability. And if you want to walk around with a swastika in a country where people have still relatives, living relatives who fought in that war and then very close relatives who died in that war, you run a risk. Like, that's, you know, it's a ballsy move, and you're going to get your comings. And unfortunately, I don't think that's the way it should have happened. But, you know, like, hey, I never thought I'd get the opportunity to fucking punch a Nazi. And
yeah, it would be nice. I would be all in for having the opportunity to punch a Nazi. But at the same time, I wouldn't go looking for Nazis to punch.
Do we know how that came about?
At least, like,
did they dox her, or did she come out? Or do we know anything about it? I just saw the video as it started. And it looked like they were there for her, you know, to me.
That's what it looked like. I think it was the woman standing on the doorstep as the protesters went by. So she went out there. Yeah, she made herself a target, thinking she could, like, you know, stand idly by and just kind of agitate them from afar.
So these snowflakes won't do anything?
Yeah, yeah. speaking of Nazis and getting their comings or lack thereof, the Athletics, the Oakland Athletics, the baseball organizations, they're one of their coaches, Ryan Christensen. Have you heard about this guy?
No, I have not.
So he apparently raised a Nazi salute at the end of a game. So after a video emerged of bench coach Ryan Christensen raising a stiff right arm above his head twice following the team's win Thursday this past week, he was called out for it. And he said he intentionally did not make a Nazi salute. But here's the thing, though. If you watch the video, you see one of the players, Liam Hendricks, he's walking towards the dugout after the game has concluded. And he sees Coach Christensen doing the Nazi salute. And he, like, pulls his hand on, like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You can't be doing that shit. So you would think that'd be the end of it. But no. Nazi Christensen decides to put the arm back up and continue with his salute in the opposite direction. And at this point, you can't say it was unintentional. He came out in the press and he was like, well, you know, because of COVID, we're doing this, like, you know, these distance greetings. And usually we put our arms up to kind of say hi, or we put our elbows out to kind of do an elbow bump. And that's kind of where he stood with the unintentional Nazi salute. But if you watch the video itself, that motherfucker was totally doing the Nazi salute.
I wonder if it was a home game, because good luck making it in Oakland throwing that shit around. You know, there's no fucking real police control in Oakland right now. Well, there hasn't been for years.
Yeah, I think it wasn't. I think it was in Oakland, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're wearing their home team uniforms.
Homeboy's and, getting checked.
Yeah, because I hope it happens in the streets, because the MLB has not done anything to publicly punish this guy.
The MLB has almost the same clusterfuck that the NFL had a couple years back with Kaepernick taking a knee. And make no mistake, cousin, they do not know how to handle it. because this shit going on with the Astros all year long is leading to problem after problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think it's a good example further of sports teams that they just hope that they just sweep it under the rug and they never do anything. But, you know, Pete Rose gets busted for gambling and is banned for life.
Yeah, well, deserve that too. That was like a rule. You can't bet on games that you're playing in.
I agree. And that's why, you know, the punishment is the punishment. But in this case, you have a Nazi playing America's pastime.
Yeah, ban that motherfucker. Well, we were also just, you and I were just saying how, like, you know, freedom of speech, he should be able to. But, I mean, that it's just like, what the fuck is this resurgence with Nazis?
You know, you bring up a very valid point where, like, okay, you can be a Nazi on your doorstep, but you can't be a Nazi in protest like Kaepernick can protest. Okay, very valid point. And let me defend this by saying Kaepernick was bringing light of social injustice that's clearly evident.
Yeah.
Whereas Nazis believe in white supremacy, which is just a form of hatred.
And but any form of not white supremacy is a social injustice to them. See what I'm saying?
Fair.
So I mean, like, I'm more upset with where the fuck are we as a country that this is a concept? Like, what are we doing wrong? You know what I mean? We're doing something wrong if these people feel like they have some sort of movement, which they definitely, there is, like, motherfucker at a professional baseball game is throwing that shit up.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I would continue to dig deeper on that and say it's not so much that they're, and like I've always said too, it's not so much the fact that we're trying to oppose anyone's particular perspective, but love should win out. And if love is not winning out, why isn't it?
Yeah, we need to dig deeper.
Yes.
You know, and dude is going to alienate himself in what is right now a tight-knit ship, you know, with COVID going on through sports. The teams are really, really tight and they're together more than they've ever been. And if you're alienating or affecting the team in a negative way, which I imagine having a Nazi on the crew is probably pretty cancerous, right? Like,
having a Nazi playing America's pastime is probably a bad call.
You know what? I'm gonna say it now. He must be a charming motherfucker. For him to still be on the team, he must be hilarious. He must pick up the tab. He must be sweet. I don't know. But that must be one charming Nazi. I feel like Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction. Like, that's the only way I wouldn't kill a Nazi. It'd have to be one charming fucking pig.
Like Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds. He was very charming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a charming Nazi.
Right? He was a handsome man.
Speaking of fuckery, private equity firm Blackstone has bought Ancestry.com. And along with Ancestry.com,
all that data,
it's trove of DNA data for $4.7 billion. So Blackstone, as they made the purchase, they said, look, we're not going to have any access to people's data. And we're just acquiring the genealogy and home DNA testing company for a group within their investment firms. So we're not after the data. We're after the fact that this company is potentially going to make some money in the future. But if you look at Ancestry.com's recent performance, they've been not doing well as a company.
I imagine.
So this is how every bad horror film, bad evil corporation in an action film.
It's the beginning of the end.
This is how every film like that begins. You have some dark company buying DNA shit. This is how it all starts. And for Blackstone, like, we're not after the data. Give me a fucking break. And this is why I've never participated in Ancestry.com, 23andMe. It's like, oh, just give us a quick swab of your cheek and we'll give you your whole DNA history.
Check this out, brother.
But then it's like, who owns my DNA now? Like, I own my DNA, but now you own the DNA sample with the DNA data within, and you own that. So you also own a piece of me. Super sus. Super sus.
So I just went to Blackstone.com, right?
Oh, no. And
If you hit their drop down, this is our businesses. Check this out. Look at how diverse they are.
Oh, no.
Private equity. Probably got nothing to do with ancestry. Real estate. Probably got nothing to do with ancestry. Credit. No, probably got nothing to do with ancestry. Hedge fund solutions. No. Strategic partners. All right, you get a little weird. Tactical opportunities. Okay, wait, what's that? Infrastructure. Infrastructure for what? Insurance solutions. What's an insurance solution? Life sciences.
Life. Oh, here we science go. Of
technology and innovation.
Oh no.
Wait, what? You guys went from intangibles to what the fuck? And you just bought a DNA stock
stockpile of DNA. Yeah, dude. Thousands upon thousands of people have utilized this site, Ancestry.com specifically. And again, you don't own your DNA anymore because now it's the property of fucking Blackstone. Even their fucking name is exactly. Like a villain name, man.
Yeah, I know. Right when you said it, I was like, dude, all right. I don't know what it is, but something about that word combination makes me feel weird.
Yeah,
Me feel real weird.
For a quick moment, I'm just like, I don't trust anything that's coming out of this company's repertoire.
An American multinational private equity alternative investment management and financial services firm based in Midtown Manhattan, New York City. As the largest alternative investment firm in the world, Blackstone specializes in private equity, credit, and hedge fund investment strategies. And now,
Ancestry.com. Fucking ridiculous, dude. That is all bad. I think this type of news, people don't really comprehend. Like, this is bad.
Yeah,
really bad.
Should we look up the founders are here? Are we interested in seeing what the one's Steven Schwartzman and the other's Peter Peterson? That's fake. Peter Peterson, get the fuck out, dude.
Oh no, man.
Oh, and he died 2 years ago. He's an American investment banker who served as United States Secretary of Commerce from 1972 to 1973 under Richard Nixon.
Okay, imagine being like in a science lab, right? I'm in a lab coat because that's what I'm doing in a science lab, is wearing a fucking white lab coat. And all of a sudden, a gentleman by the name of Peter Peterson walks up and hands me a business card and says, "Hi, I work for Blackstone. My name's Peter Peterson. I'd like to have a conversation with you. Why don't you give me a call?" I would never fucking call him. Nothing good is going to come from that conversation at all. I'm going to end up with a fucking bullet in my head.
Oh man,
Peter Peterson.
This guy works for all kinds of presidents, and these are scary people, dude. These are real people. These are the people that, like, when you watch, I don't know if you saw that vampire show on FX, maybe 8 years back, 7 years back, but it was a vampire show. Like, a plane landed, and everybody came out the plane. It was the first episode, like the pilot,
sure.
And it all dwindled up to, like, there were vampire hunters, all that bullshit, but it all dwindled up to, like, the elites. Soaking in the blood of youth, you know? Those people!
Yeah, that's definitely Peter Peterson for sure.
Peter Peterson for sure. Fuck you, Peter Peterson.
Yeah, I don't feel good about that situation at all.
That's nerve-wracking. Hey, quick question, brother. Yep. I'm going to clear out my spam. Do you need any Viagra or Cialis?
No, I think I'm stocked up for the next 20 years. I think I'm good.
I'll go ahead and clear those spam emails out then. Thank you so much.
Yeah, while I'm doing that, I'm also thinking about Georgia. So okay. Georgia just recently opened up their schools again, and people are still on the fence about, should we go back to school? Should we not go back to school? Georgia was like, fuck y'all, we're going back to school. And
good luck with that, bro.
Recent photos surfaced of the first day of school, and it showed that there was no social distancing. A high percentage of the kids were not wearing masks. They were just being, you know, fucking teenagers in high school, not giving a fuck. And one of those teenagers took a couple of photos and put them up on Twitter, and that shit went viral. Shortly then after, that wonderful woman got suspended. And then once it went viral, they were like, oh, you know what? We're not going to suspend you anymore. You're good to go back to school. Meanwhile, a good majority of them did contract coronavirus. And I think they're exploring potentially shutting down the school now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as they should. You know, there's no way you're going to get social distance at a school.
Yeah.
No fucking way. I saw that picture. The kids were at their lockers.
Yeah.
Oh, is every fifth locker the only one in use? Like, how the fuck could – if I got to go to class and he's got to go to class, how the fuck are we going to social distance when we catch up at the lockers? Yeah. There's no way it's going to happen. I don't know if you saw that post where it's like you send your kid to school with a SpongeBob mask and they come back with a Spider-Man mask because they traded at lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's not doable. If you're on the fence about whether or not you should send your kids in, like, you're gonna get your Cummins. You're gonna get your Cummins. Which is named the episode. This episode, you're gonna get your Cummins. Whether you donate, you believe in the Hitler prophecy, or you're on the fence about going to school, you're gonna get your Cummins.
Yeah, I still can't believe this is still a fucking conversation. But when you really start to like ask questions about why do people want you to go back to school, it simply goes back to parents got to go back to work.
It's hard. It's hard. You know, actually, I was talking to somebody about the Sturgis motorcycle gathering that happened this weekend.
South Dakota.
So, there is a lot of people who are like, I don't know if they're non-believers of the virus still or just think they can't be harmed or think that their time is more important than, you know, the safety of the people around, whatever it is. But there's also a faction of people who know that that little town only makes money this one week. And there's small business owners. There's families that rely on it. There is a group of people that traveled and did that, not just because they're part of that culture, but because they knew those people rely on them for this one week. Yeah. You know what I mean? And just like going back to school, there are a faction of families that just have no other option. They struggle all summer to find places for their children or things to do and, you know, babysitters. And that this is a relief. In Chicago, children get fed breakfast, lunch, and dinner because a lot of those children don't get those meals back home.
Yep.
So there is a real reality that it's not all like, fuck the virus. Some of it is like, we're fucked regardless.
And I'm glad you brought up that point because that leads me back to my original concern with the government and that the government does not fulfill its primary purpose of governing the community. It does not ensure the wealth of the community. So this is a clear example with the coronavirus, COVID-19 in 2020, where the United States government clearly showed their true colors, that they do not give a fuck about you, period. And if they did, they would be encouraging everyone, like, look, this shit is dangerous. We don't know how to fucking maintain it. We're trying to figure it out. The best thing we can do is everyone stays the fuck home. I know everyone's concerned about money, so the government is going to fulfill your paychecks. We're going to do that for about 2 months while everyone stays the fuck home. And it's going to be okay. And they didn't do that.
Yeah, this is the problem with like having the level of government that we have, where it's like we have either too much federal government or not enough federal government. We have the equal amounts of fucked on both ends.
that is so crystal clear. It makes so much sense. It hurts.
Yeah, right? Where it's like we didn't have enough federal government to actually lock us down. And then we had too much federal government to like pay people to not go to work. So it's like this wishy-wash thing that accomplished zero we're going on 6 months.
Yeah, this shit should have been done in 2 months. That's a lot of months. If everyone just fucking freeze in place, everyone stay the fuck inside like the rest of the world did, Europe at the very least, you saw those fucking viral videos of everyone just staying the fuck in their house. If we had done the same thing, we would have had a genuine good handle on the virus and we would not be where we are right now. And that is so fucking infuriating. I'm pissed off the fact that we're having this conversation of like, we're going back to school, like, or even the churches are saying we should be able to go back to church.
Does anybody know a church that has gone unscathed? Everybody I know that like either attends a church or churches that I've talked to, their community leaders or leaders of the church have fucking suffered, like got hit hard with the virus.
That's true. I've not heard a single story about that.
So, the guy in the beginning that was like gonna out in Tallahassee, Florida, I think.
Sure.
Tallahassee's not Florida, right?
That's Tallahassee. Yeah,
Alabama. Or is it Florida?
Look how stupid we sound.
It was Tampa, Florida. Okay. Anyways, whatever it was, there was a guy who had a church there that was talking all kinds of shit in the beginning. He's dead. DED from COVID.
Yeah, and it's Herman like, Cain too. Yeah,
Herman Cain too, dude. I hate to break it to you, but Jesus doesn't give a fuck about your virus, bro.
Yeah, that's been my singular line whenever a conversation comes up about, oh, well, what about this? Or like, dude, biology does not care.
Yeah.
About your education, about your job, about your rent, about your finances. Biology does not care, period.
You know, when you were talking about the government doesn't give a fuck, I was like, I should feel like Mike Myers in that Kanye moment where he's like, George Bush don't care about black people. But I'm not. You remember that moment on MTV?
Yeah. It was during the Hurricane Katrina relief.
Yeah, you were going Kanye right now, and I was supposed to be Mike Myers, but I'm actually Kanye too. And I'm like with you, like, no, they don't give a fuck. Like, I'm just...
it's so disappointing to me. It's so infuriating because, you know, a lot of people misconstrue my criticism of America as I hate America. And it's not.
No,
you criticize the things you love. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're here to work on the things you love, dude. If you have a relative that is suffering, you don't fucking leave them hanging. You go through and you work through it with them, and you show them that you love them, and you try to rebuild them to what you want. That's exactly what you do with America. But
and what's the first step of any fucking step program is acknowledgement.
Admit.
You have to say, yes, we have a problem. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm calling America out. I'm like, look, we are fucked. We are so fucked. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
And I think it just we need to rid the pleasantries. We're beyond that point and just call it for what it is. And if you're not about that life, then fucking done with it, man. I had another relative of a relative today on my Facebook, and they're like, something, something, pizza gay. I'm like, fuck you, dude. I'm out. I unfriended them right then and there. We're supposed to be cool, but nope. I'm not even going to fucking...
Well, you can still be cool. It's just Facebook isn't the place for your bullshit. You know what I mean? Like,
no, because Facebook has been... People have used Facebook to reveal what they want to say without saying it out loud in real life.
It's in a safe spot. It's like driving in your car. People act all fucking tough and flip you off and honk your horn. But if you slam on the brakes in the middle of the freeway and get out your car, all of a sudden people are pissing their pants.
Yeah, exactly.
You're speaking from a safe spot. Like, that's ballsy as fuck. That's the one thing I hate about fucking Twitter. Like, you'll talk in a way that you won't talk in real life.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know that that's, like, maybe it's our generation that knows the difference, but I think the next generation, we were out at the beach, and some girl tried to say that we took her fucking, like, a young lady tried to say that we took her headphones, and she was like, let me just connect to them to make sure they're not mine. I'm like, how about no? Like, you don't get to come over here and tell me to prove my shit's mine. How about you, like, fuck off? And she's like, 13, 14. And she's like, you're acting really defensive. I was like, you're acting like a stupid little cunt. Like, who the fuck told you could talk to Elvis this way? Who the fuck told you you can go to a grown man as a 14-year-old girl and fucking try to tell him what to do?
Yeah,
I was like, are there no men in your life?
Especially someone you don't know. I mean, like a man, woman dynamic. But you just can't go up to a stranger and just start doing that kind of shit.
Prove your shit's yours. How about I'm going to watch you go to your fucking car, and if you don't have the title, I'm going to take the car from you. Fuck out of here, you stupid ass bitch. Who are you fucking talking to? And I told him, I was like, you let her fucking talk. Does she talk to you like this, you fucking idiot? Like, there's four broads here. Where's the man? Who's the balance here? Who tells you guys you can't behave this way? No one? Oh,
who's the adult in general at this point? Like, come on, someone's gotta step up.
You're getting really defensive. How about this? You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You know? And she goes, well, there's no need for you to talk like that. I was like, no, you know what there's no need for? Me to show you my shit's mine. Go away.
Go away.
Away. Pick one and go it.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I wanted to touch upon this week. I think we covered a lot of good stuff. And
I'm excited about the opportunity for us to break down the four characters.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. I'm going to like you mentioned a little bit off air, we're going to have to look at the voting records, stances, and just overall demeanor. I think we have a pretty good idea, at least for myself, Trump and actually just Trump. Even Pence I know a little bit about, but not enough about to really speak to.
Yeah.
Just enough about what's been divulged upon with the headlines during his first go around in 2016. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I mean, you know, Biden a little bit, but I need to learn a lot more about Harris for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know what? What do you got this week?
You know what?
What?
I think that there is an underground network of Asian dentists and the people who make fortune cookies. Because those fortune cookies, I'm pretty sure they're half concrete. Like, you fucking bite into a fortune cookie lately, dude? It's like a rock. It's there to crack teeth, bro. And the thing is, you got to know the fortune.
That's true. Like, you can't just not know it.
I was going at a fortune cookie earlier today, like I don't know, like a sword maker during the Pirates of the Caribbean. I had to like bust out an anvil, get like a hot iron fucking hammer, and just pow! To find out what my fortune was. And you know what it was? Stop and smell the flowers. Fuck you, fucking fortune cookie. That's not a fortune.
It'd be nice if your fortune said, like, take a bite out of life. I'm like, I can't. I took a bite out of this fortune cookie. No, I can't do anything else.
You broke my teeth.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn that into an unwritten law right now, to be or not to be. If someone hands you an unopened fortune cookie, you have to open it, right? You can't just like throw it away.
I think so, dude.
I've seen that happen. I've seen people like they have their fortune cookies, but they're like, the cookie doesn't taste good. It's not about the cookie. It's about what's inside the cookie.
Now, you know who does that? Racist. They go, I'm not having this
throwaway chin fortune
Chinese. Yeah, I'm not in this chin Chinese fucking cookie and throw it away.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely to be. If someone gives you a fortune cookie, you have to open it. You can't just not. Or even delve deeper. Do you have to eat the cookie when you open it?
Well,
just throw away the shell.
I think it voids the fortune, right?
I don't know. Does it? I think is that how it works? Like a birthday wish? You can't tell anyone?
No, I think you have to consume the cookie, in order to
acquire the good fortune.
Does anybody play the lottery numbers on the fortune cookie?
I want to know. I want to go back in like history of lottery winners and poll how many of them won off fortune cookie numbers to determine if we should still continue putting lottery numbers on fortune cookies.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And then also, like, if they're from China, does China have the same lottery we have? Is it coincidental to put five numbers? Like, and here's your mega number? Does China got a mega number?
Yeah.
We don't really know about China, dude.
Your Chinese fortune cookie, it was a Chinese lottery numbers that you got, not the American numbers. That's funny. Hey, you know what?
What's that, brother?
Sometimes what's not good for the body is good for the soul. And you should indulge once in a while.
Like what?
I don't know. Alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Weed.
Anal.
Playing the lotto. Off your fortune cookie numbers.
Chinese numbers.
That's definitely not good for the body. Eating fortune cookies, not good for the body. But if you want that good fortune, that's good for the soul. You better eat that fucking fortune cookie.
Remember how we were talking about vegetarians last week? I was like, have you seen the size of these vegetarians lately? Like, you don't need to quit meat. You need to quit fortune cookies.
That's all I got. I only had the one you know what this week.
Yeah, I think I got it too, man. Hashtag save Ellen. No, dude.
Save Ellen. Poor Ellen. Not really.
Poor Ellen, dude. In a time of women, for women.
If you're a boss, that's how it goes, man. The buck stops.
Yeah, Ellen, you're gonna get your Cummins, baby.
more Cummins coming your way.
Everybody's got their Cummins coming.
As always, we want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do and want to become a short sponsor, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance and tell us what it is you want us to shout out. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion, and we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
You think there's any like kids or teenagers that listen to this, that this is like the story of their coming of age?
I really hope so.
They come in weekly and get tapped. Yeah, we'll probably make good people, huh?
I really think we're making good people.
You and Daisy have a kid. Me and Nat have kids. You and I should have a kid and do it apart from them. And then really test them, you know, like put them up against the kids we had with them.
I'm not opposed.
Yeah, we should do that. If anybody's got kids for sale, donate them. What's it called?
Short sponsors.
Short sponsor as a kid. And we'll make sure his godfather or her godfather, whatever, or its godfather, Zer's godfather, whatever it wants to be, we're all for it.
Cool. Can I play the outro now?
Yeah, press the button. I've been waiting for you to do it for a while. Save me!